Apostles' Creed? Because where the Apostles' Creed focused in on who Jesus was, the Nicene Creed did work at making sure we understood what Jesus was made of, in the sense of the Nicene Creed says, begotten from the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. The Nicene Creed, at the time it was written, helped the Christian church, where there were many theories of who Jesus was. Was he actually flesh and blood? Well, for those who believe that things in this physical world were evil, they couldn't see Jesus being of God and made of human flesh and blood. So for them, they wanted to say that Jesus only seemed to be human and flesh and blood, only seemed to walk this earth, to live and die on the cross, to raise again, because they couldn't see the purity of the Spirit being mixed with the evilness of this physical world. The Nicene Creed makes it very clear. Jesus was both God and human. In our Faith Academy, each week I want to add a building block to what we believe in our Christian faith. And now I'm going to be handing out our piece of music that we're about to go and sing. Good catch. And I'm going to send a handful here. Please share those. And a couple here and on through our group. Whoop, whoop. Thank you, Ruby. Good catch. She can be my second baseman on our team. Oops, we'll need more than that. They're sticking together. Thank you, Debbie. This song that I'm handing out is There is a Redeemer. Please hand those. Let us sing this hymn of faith together while we're seated.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you. Serve my King for
presence of your Spirit, for you are mighty to save. Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading this morning is found in the second book of Corinthians. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year not only to do something, but even desire to do something. Now, finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance, as it is written. The one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little.
Find where that is. It's the same words, every verse, and you can join along with this at least at that. Our soul turns up.
And all God's people said, Amen. Silvertones, I have heard the legend and maybe the myth, but now I get to meet you in person. Welcome. Welcome. And Debbie, thank you for arranging our summer music, and what a lovely thing to have you. Wonderful. Wonderful. On my way to Woodburn this morning, as I left Sherwood late on my way to get here, I was reminded of being a seminary student and sitting there during the choir next to the senior pastor at the church where I was learning things of ministry while I was a student. And in the midst of the singing, the choir singing, much as you just did, the pastor leaned to me and said, I need you to preach today. And he saw my face go sheet white as I sat there as a nervous seminary student thinking, I'm not ready for this. And he waited until the choir was almost done with their part and then just said, I can go ahead without you, but I just want you to know, always be ready. Walt, it was almost always be ready for you today. You know, the summer heat has taken its toll. I can say that I'm doing pretty well with the heat. It's affecting me more than it used to when I was a younger man. But Diana is home today with a raging headache and nausea from the heat we've been having, and there seems to be no relief, at least for the misery she's facing. And so hopefully time will make the difference. So she's not with us today, but it reminded me how fragile our time frames are, that when I'm making sure she has fruit juice and crackers and things like that to help her with her morning, that suddenly it's past time to leave for Woodburn, and I have to call Walt to say, be prepared to preach. What a joyous thing to see the church function and move forward and begin worship this morning, and to walk in, even though late and embarrassingly, but walk in and hear the life of music, see and hear you here in this place of worship. What a pleasure, a surprise pleasure at my embarrassment. We're continuing the Gospel of Mark today as Jesus is called upon to help a little girl who is deathly ill. We turn to Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. And again, Mark's style of immediately button things one after another, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. Now I'm going to skip over this section and return to it a little bit later, verses 24b, and pick up the story that continues what we're dealing with verse 35. So Jesus went with him. While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When he came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and wailing so loudly? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. Then he put them outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, little girl, get up. And immediately she got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and he bid them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. A man comes to Jesus asking for help with his little daughter, and Jesus has the final word: believe. Awakening from a deep sleep. Jairus, a man, a leader in the synagogue, has a daughter who's on death's door. We're not told what she's suffering from, but it's enough to take her right up to the brink of death. He asked Jesus, come, lay your hands on her so she may be made well. How did Jairus know to come to Jesus? Someone must have told him, and must have told him that Jesus will be the help you seek. He came to Jesus. Those around Jesus are made up of three groups of people: those who are curious about who is Jesus, those who are convinced about who is Jesus, and those who are committed to follow Jesus where Jesus is going. Curious, convinced, and committed. At this point, I think Jairus is one who's curious. He's been told help will be found in Jesus. He wants to seek Jesus out to see if that's true. We know in this story, in hindsight, that he is amazed with how helpful Jesus is. Jesus goes with him, but on the way, an interesting event of healing happens, and we're going to return to that in just a minute. That's the portion I did not read in today's passage. So still on the way, news comes of Jairus' daughter, that she's dead. Whatever she's been suffering from has taken that creeping toll, and finally she has breathed her last breath. Have you stood by and been there at the moment of death to watch the life-filled body breathe its last and exhale it, seeing the flesh go extremely gray, cheeks go hollow, the skin cool to touch? Death has taken its toll in this household, and the mourning begins. And also the conclusion that they assume that this is it, this is the final word. Death has occurred, and that's how it's going to go. This is not the first time that Jesus is too late, that he's been summoned to help while someone is alive and arrives after they have died. You know far well the story of Lazarus, this friend of Jesus, and how Jesus has been told, come to Lazarus' aid, help him while he's alive. Jesus stays where he is, and Lazarus dies. But when Jesus arrives, some profound statements of believing in the resurrection and profound actions that Jesus takes when he tells them to remove the stone from the gravesite. And Jesus simply calls out, Lazarus, come forth. In this home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, his daughter has died, and the mourning has begun, thinking that this is it. The next step is to prepare her body, and before sundown of that day, for a good Jew, lay her in her tomb. Jesus' words to Jairus when that news comes, you're too late. She is already dead. Jesus says these astounding words, only believe. Believe. When Jesus arrives there, crowds of mourners have gathered, as they do, as we do, to support those who are facing the news that their loved one has died. And Jesus says, she's only sleeping. The crowd laughs at Jesus. You can't turn back the clock of time. You can't push back that dark veil that has taken her You cannot wrestle from death's grip this little girl. It's too late. Jesus says, stay outside. And Jesus, with Jairus, the mother, Jesus' own disciples, Peter, James, and John, goes into the room, and Jesus touches her, lifting her hand, and says, little girl, arise. A bit like you and I would do when we go in to wake a sleeping child. That nap time is now over, and we go in and touch them gently. Rock them just a little bit to nudge them out of whatever pleasant dream they've been having. It's time to get up and go back to living and playing and learning. Jesus has the final word. And now that curious healing. And so I turn back to the passage there that starts at verse 24b. And moves on to verse 35. Remember, it's sandwiched between the request of Jesus to come with Jairus and him going and healing Jairus' daughter. A large crowd followed Jesus and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She endured it much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but growing worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone out from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, who touched me? He looked all around those who were there who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. This little paragraph dropped in here in the midst of Jesus being requested to come with Jairus and help him with his daughter. Strange place for it to be found. An unknown woman. We know that she has had a disease of some kind of bleeding illness, perhaps a hemophiliac, that her blood did not produce the kind of blood cells that cause it to clot and seal a wound. For 12 years, she'd suffered. She'd seen physicians and whatever help she could, spent whatever wealth she had available, but she was no better for it. And her faith said, if I just touch his clothes, if I just touch his clothes. And when she did, she knew something powerful had happened within her. When she had touched Jesus' clothes, he knew something had happened in that crowd. Someone touched me. Well, of course someone touched you. You're walking through a crowd. This woman knew who she was. She knew what had happened. And for Jesus to say to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. It is your belief. It is your hope. It is your faith that has made you well. Belief, hope, and faith are three tied together words in the Greek language when we talk of faith. In English, we don't have the grandness and description that the Greek language has. These three words are tied together, belief, hope, and faith. Belief in the power of God. God can do this. God can do anything. Belief in the promises of God. Hope. Hoping in things that are unseen. Hoping in things that we can't see visibly in front of us. Like, for instance, when the road makes a bend and goes out of sight. Do we fear that the road no longer exists? Or when the road goes over a mountaintop and into a valley and out of our sight, do we fear that the road has disappeared forevermore? We hope to see that other end of the road as we travel on, around the bend or over the mountain and into the valley. And then there's faith. Faith that the one who has left us here to work things out will come again to bring a new heaven and a new earth. These three words are tied together where Jesus says to Jairus, believe. And then Jesus says to this woman healed, your faith has made you well. And hope, these three words tied together. Jesus has the final word, believe. On these warm summer days, when we are greeted with news like we have in this last week and a half, and I was very much remiss to not make mention of it at last Sunday's worship service, because as we worshiped last Sunday, it was only just a few days after that Bible study in Charleston, South Carolina, where 9 were killed, including the pastor. We need Jesus' final word that in the midst of violence and destruction, believe. We need this word in the midst of hearing escape conflicts have gotten out of the prison, been helped but got out of the prison and are on the loose. And we in our homes fear whether or not they might come to our neighborhood, might come to our door. We fear for our safety. At times when our safety is at issue, we need Jesus' word, final word, believe. And we need this word as well when we're reminded how fragile our health is, that one day we're fine and the next the doctor is saying, you've got a deadly disease. Get your things in order. We need this word that Jesus brings today, that when we are faced with death, when we are faced with our safety being at risk, when we are faced with our own bodies decaying from disease and illness, Jesus is saying, believe. For us, it will be like that little girl where Jesus said she's simply asleep. Perhaps dreaming a good dream or perhaps dreaming a nightmare, but awakening from a deep sleep and realize it that there is a greater reality that is about us, a greater reality that is at work, that where we saw life and death as certain finalities, Jesus says, believe. When we in this life say, this is the way it is, I've got to adjust. We need to hear this word. Awaken from a deep sleep to hear this word, believe. It will be what carries us through this day. It will be the help we need to face the challenges this week. Believe. While we're seated, let's sing our hymn of response. From our songbooks, 2211, Faith is Patience in the Night.
Well, a warm welcome to all of you. May you find your place here in this place of Christian worship and fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ. Everyone is invited for food and worship following the worship service today. And what Peter doesn't realize, if he hadn't shown up, there would have been no sermon, but we would really, really enjoyed them for a while in this place. They don't know that, but that's what would have happened. And thank you very much. July newsletters are ready in the back. Wednesday, men's luncheon, 12:30 at the Country Cottage. Is there any other announcements that we need to bring up at this time? Let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. Ushers, please come forward for the prayer of dedication. Holy God, thank you for giving us a joy for generosity and a genuine love of those who are in need. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts and upon our lives that together we may bring healing and hope to the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. In a time of prayer, we need to thank God that Lois Cavall is now home, doing better, hopefully soon among us. I know she is counting the days. Every time I talk with her, she's saying, you know how long it's been since I've been in worship? I said, yes, I'm taking attendance. Oh, she's doing better, soon to be back among us. Let's pray that healing continues. Another who is not here is, of course, Roberta is not here. She continues to be in the hospital with a bladder infection, some pneumonia, and back pain. And so let's continue to pray for her. She wants me to visit when she's feeling better. She won't let me come yet. Are there others we need to be in prayer for? Yes, Fran. Fran's Aunt Pat having surgery on an artery tomorrow. Let's be in prayer for her. Others, yes. For Brother Walter, diagnosed with stomach cancer, and there will be treatment of some kind that they are suggesting for him, and let's be in prayer for the family. Others. This week, and courts decided to legalize same-sex marriages across the country. Some are describing that as monumental, life-changing, as giving the vote to women. I know there are strong opinions on either side. Let's be in prayer for the future of the present and future of our country as important decisions are being handed down, as the Supreme Court is ending its rulings on a number of issues. Anything else that we need to be in prayer for?
For travel mercies for those who are traveling on this 4th of July.
For many who are traveling, yes. The 4th of July weekend is coming up next weekend, and for those who will be traveling, let's pray for safety on the highways, in the air, whatever mode of transportation they take. Let's bow in prayer.
I want you to pray for my new grandchild that was just born the other day up to Oregon City, and she's doing real good. It's a little girl.
So we'll add to our prayer list Ruby's grandchild or great grandchild.
Great
grandchild born. 10th great grandchild. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for hearing us. Like that day when Jairus stopped you in the midst of doing other things, asking on behalf of his daughter. Lord, thank you that you are one who stops and takes time, that whatever direction, whatever was on the top of your priority list, took second place to that need, that very real human need. Lord, we pray for these that we've mentioned, those who are ongoing in their healing, already under doctor's care, those who have just been diagnosed and found out tragic, difficult news. Guard and guide those who will be on the highways traveling this Independence weekend. And Lord, as we are here, meet us in our need. You know where we weep. You know where we feel the struggle. You know where we bend our knees and hit the floor and ask you because we've exhausted all other resources. Meet us there, Lord. Help us in the here and now. Give us the strength to move forward. May your will be done. As we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able to sing. With today being the moving worship service that we've had, if any would like to talk further about their relationship, their belief in God, please seek me out. Seek others out to have that conversation. Sisters and brothers, believe on the steadfast love of our God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In this week, walk in faith, in courage, in hope, belief. Friends, go in peace. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.